We're standing, we're taking our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 reads like this. And Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about it's prayer time in America. It's prayer time in America. There was a little boy that needed $100. And so he prayed to God and asked God for the $100. And then he decided to do something that I do many times. Many times in my quiet time, I just take a journal and I just write my prayer out to God. Rather than just verbally praying it, I just write it out to God. He wrote it out to God, put it in an envelope, wrote on the outside of the envelope to God, put a stamp on it. It ended up with the postal service, and they said, well, it's made out to God. Who do you send it to? Somebody said, well, let's send it to the president in Washington, D.C. So sure enough, they sent it to the president in Washington, D.C. The president got it, and he said, that's neat. Kid's asking for $100. Send him a $5 bill back. And they put $5 in the envelope, sent it back to the boy, and he opened it up, and he was very excited. But then he said, I want to write God a letter. And he wrote God a letter, and he said, God, first of all, I want to thank you for the $100. I thank you for the $100. But he said, God, you sent it through Washington, D.C., and they kept 95 of it. Well, this is what I know about the story. At least the little boy knew to pray. Now, you know, folks, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this verse, 2 Chronicles, that most of us have somewhat memorized, you've got to understand what was really happening here in Israel. I mean, they was having severe famine. The plants were having diseases. There were massive heat waves. The people were very sick. The grasshoppers were literally destroying their crops. It was a difficult, tragic time of famine in Israel. And the people said, we really don't know what to do. And God said, I'll give you an answer. And he said, the answer's if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And you know, folks, I know this scripture was given to Israel for the calamities that they were going through. But this scripture is also for us, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the Old Testament was given as an example for us to learn from. So it was given as an example for us to learn from. So this is what I know. It's prayer time in America. And there's four things I want you to see from this scripture. The first thing I want you to see is this. The people that God has. The people that God has. Now see, every promise in the Bible has a premise with it. And I want you to know this promise is predicated on God's people. Notice what it says. It says, if my people... which are called by my name. Many times we get caught up with what the Hollywood crowd's doing. We get caught up with the ACLU, the Antichrist Lawyers Union. We get caught up with the NOW organization, the Network of Witches. We get caught up with the Republican Party. We get caught up with the Democratic Party. We get caught up with Wall Street. We get caught up with all that. And I want to report to you, folks. God said the problem lies with my people. He said, if my people, he said, if the church would just be the church, if the church would just be the church, there's not a problem in the world that can't be resolved if my people, if my people. The Chinese guy came to America and they asked the Chinese guy, what do you think about the American church? He said, too much talky-talky and not enough walky-walky. If my people, see folks, this country that was founded and had a declaration of independence, it was not only a declaration of independence from Great Britain, but it was a declaration of dependence upon mighty God. Literally, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. They didn't believe in some polytheism. They believed that we were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. They believed Psalms 33 and 12 that says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. They believed Proverbs 14 and 34 that said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Those five men, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman, who penned the Declaration of Independence. Why did they give the terminology? Why did they give that verbiage? We hold these truths to be self-evident. Because in the 1700s in this country, there was a great awakening. A preacher stepped on the scene by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Literally graduated high school at 13. Graduated valedictorian from Yale at 17. And he preached a message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And people would quiver and hold the pews in conviction. George Whitefield comes on the scene. And he starts open air meetings. And he'd go into a town and 20% of the town would accept Christ as personal Savior. Benjamin Franklin was so intrigued by his sermons, he paid to have his sermons published in publications. John and Charles Wesley, the founders of Methodism, come on the scene. That was the climate when they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That was the climate. It was a spiritual, godly climate. And then in the 1800s, Francis Asbury takes the gospel to the rural areas. Timothy DeWitt turns Yale back to God. A lawyer. Boy, they played today. They played great music. Did you ever think about it? Who brought the choir into the churches? It was a lawyer that got converted by the name of Charles Finney. Why do we have musical instruments? Why did they get into the churches? It was a lawyer that got converted by the name of Charles Finney. Literally, he would speak and people would line up for 2 hours just to hear him speak. Isn't it interesting, ladies and gentlemen, during this time, slavery was abolished. You know the answer for the social problems in our nation? It doesn't lie with the government. It lies with the church. It lies with the church, just being the church. If we just be, ladies and gentlemen, what we ought to be, if we just be the people that we ought to be, it's amazing what God would do with our nation. See, I see the people that God has, but I see something else. I see the pride that God hates. The pride that God hates. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Let me say something to every leader today. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about all leaders. I know preachers that can strut sitting down. I'm talking about all leaders. But there's a verse that has been used in my life. I've thought about it many times. It's 1 Samuel 15 and 17. This is what Samuel said to Saul after God had rebuked Saul from being king. Samuel said this to Saul. He said, Saul, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? and the Lord anointed thee king over all Israel. He said, let me tell you something, Saul. God used you when you were small in your sight. But when you started thinking it was you, that's when God removed his hand. That's when God removes his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It's not us, it's the Lord. It's not. Can you imagine that donkey the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem and they were saying, hail him, praise, glory be unto God, to Hosanna. Can you imagine that donkey? The next day, he probably made that same trip. And they were no palm branches. They were nobody saying, hail him. You know what the donkey had to realize? It wasn't him. It was the one who was riding him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you something. We're just the donkey. The one to be praised is the Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, was on an airplane one time. And the flight attendant said, sir, put on your seatbelt. He said, Superman don't need a seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need an airplane. Put on your seatbelt. The greatest president our nation has ever known was a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. A man that battled depression most of his life. A man that had breakdowns. But he was the greatest president. Somebody said to Abraham Lincoln one time, Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, you're two-faced. He said, I know that's not true. Because if I was two-faced, I wouldn't wear this one. Abraham Lincoln at the height of the Civil War said, I've been driven to my knees by an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient for the day. The greatest president our nation's ever known. So I've been driven to my knees by an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient in the day. Oh, I see the people that God has. I see the pride that God hates. But I see the prayer that God hears. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Now wait. He doesn't stop with pray. Look what it says. And seek my face. Not my hand. Not my hand. Many times when we pray, it's give or forgive. Not my hand. But I'm hunting up a group of people who will seek my face. Who just want to be with me. What is seeking the face of God? It's when you want God's presence. It's when you just want to be in his presence. I have one daughter, Savannah Abigail. And we started a tradition years ago. Just going to ballparks. We'll pick out a ballpark and she and I will go to a different ballpark and watch some baseball game. And she said to me on one occasion, she said, you know, Dad, it's pretty neat. We fly to these ballparks and watch the games. But she said, you know, the ball's really not what means that much to me. She said, I love just being with you. And I said, Savannah, I love just being with you. Just that undivided time. The ball doesn't mean that much to me. I wonder how many times does God say, I'd really like to just be with you. I wish you'd just be still and know that I'm God. I know you're busy and you got all that, but I just wish you'd take a little time for me. See, there's a difference in praying. He didn't stop with pray. He said, seek my face. Seek my face. No, he didn't just stop with just rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub. No. Seek my face. Seek my face. You know, I thought about this. He said, when you pray, hey, this is an adult group. When you pray in Matthew chapter 6, he said, close the door behind you. You know what that means? If you close the door, that can, I don't want to get too graphic, I don't want to, but the husbands probably like it when the wife closes the door. That means intimacy. God said, I like it when you close the door. Because that's saying you just want to be intimate with me. You just want to be intimate with me. What does God want? He wants to be intimate with us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek me and turn from their wicked ways. Turn. Folks, you're going to have a wonderful relationship with God. We can't just keep doing the same things. I heard about a guy that would go down to the altar every service. And he would say, God, remove the cobwebs, remove the cobwebs. But he'd go back and do the same sinful things. And finally he came down and he said, remove the cobwebs, remove the cobwebs. And the preacher came down and he said, God, don't remove the cobwebs, kill the spider. Folks, many of us have spiders that we need to kill in our lives in order for our prayer life to be what it ought to be. See, I see the people that God has. It's us. George Patton said, go to battle with the troops you got. I see the pride that God hates. God hates pride. He hates pride. He's not going to bless pride. Why would we be prideful? God created us all equal. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all equal in God's sight. The prayer that God hears, but then the promise that God honors. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. And here's what I want to say today. God can still forgive sin, and God can still heal our land. You said, Pastor Benny, if we can just get this party. Folks, a party's not the answer. The people of God is the answer. Turning to God is the answer. That's the answer. June the 14th, just a few days ago, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and three others were shot while practicing for a congressional ball game. An activist shot these people. And let me say something, folks. It's sad that anybody would be assaulted for their political or religious views. And that was on June the 14th, and I thought it was sad, and I prayed for Mr. Scalise and the three others. And I think they're going to be okay. I know you prayed also. But you know, the next night, they played the ball game. They played the game. And before the game, all the congressmen and senators gathered in the middle of the field, and they prayed to God. And they prayed to God. And they prayed to God. And I couldn't help but think, something good came out of something so bad. See, this is what I believe at my core. And I'm almost done. The answer for America, it's not in the White House. The answer for America is not in the state house. The answer for America is not in the courthouse. The answer for America is in the church house. The answer for America is in your house. It's in my house. It's we turning back to God. In the early 1800s, as our musicians are playing, a Frenchman by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville came to America. And he came to study the greatness of our country. And he said, I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, her boundless forest. And it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, her institutions of higher learning. But it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress, her matchless constitution. And it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and I heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Where does it begin, folks? It begins with you and it begins with me. It's prayer time in America. It's prayer time in America. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.